Well, I heard this story just this last week, and I'll tell you the story, and depending on your response, I'll tell you where I heard it. How's that? There was a doctor, a lawyer, and a pastor out deer hunting, and they were standing side by side, and here comes this big buck, and they all raised their rifles simultaneously and shot simultaneously. And the buck was hit, fell down, and instantly they looked at each other and all proclaimed, "It was my shot that felled the deer." And a game warden is driving by and he stops, they motion for him. They explained what happened and they asked him, "Could you determine who had the kill shot on this deer?" And he said, let me examine the deer." And he examined the deer for all of 5 seconds. And he said, "Clearly it was the pastor." And the doctor and the attorney said, "How can you tell that and tell that so quickly?" And he said, "It's obvious. The shot went in one ear and out the other." Well, I can joke about that because that is not how people at Fond Lake Church are. I'm very encouraged by people really diving in and wrestling with the truths that they're hearing at church in the sermons and discussion, the life group that we have after service, and really not just, hearing something, saying that's nice, and then, going on our merry way, but thinking about it during the week and pondering and meditating. Tonight we're talking about this idea of tell your story. And from Acts 4:20, and we're in this series, a long series called Sent, and here's what we've looked at. First of all, identity, who you are, that you need to understand that the median is the message, that for a lot of people, their take on Christianity, their understanding of church, their understanding of Christ will be largely by observing you and me. In that, there's a saying, talk is cheap, right? And I'll say this, talking the Christian life is super easy. Oh my heavens, have you found it to be true? Living it, not so much. That's the challenging part. Or telling other people how to live their life, standing up here as a pastor and telling you guys what you should do, a whole lot easier than me actually doing it myself. And so taking on this identity, and then where do we start? We start with proximity. You start where you are. And that, the Lord places us in that scripture that a lot. Almost every church preaches as a command of go into all the world and make disciples. It is not a command verb, as we talked about. It's as you are going, there is a command to make disciples, but we're all going. The Lord puts us somewhere. We live somewhere. We have neighbors. We're interacting with people. And as we do that, we should be salt and light. And we start with the people near us, as scripture says, you will be my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It's these concentric circles that emanate out from the start and go out like dropping a rock in a pond, and you see the waves ripple out. And the simple message is this: how we live, how we treat each other. Of course, Christ boiled it all down to this: love God, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say there weren't other commandments, but he said all the law and the prophets hinge on these two commands. And again, it's not complicated, but it's not easy. It's very challenging. It's very easy to love the lovable. You guys, it's probably easy for you to love me on my good days. On my bad days, you really gotta trust the Lord's strength to help you do that. And then tonight is really where we lean in on this vulnerability, that what you share, a lot of what we share is simple personal testimony. And as we look at this scripture, it really is super, super simple. And we're just looking at this one verse from Acts. And it's as these disciples were challenged and told to be quiet and stop preaching the gospel, they said this: "We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." And honestly, as we interact with the Lord, as we walk with Christ, as we lead a Christian life, as we're trying to lean into Him, if we simply did that, if we simply took it upon ourselves to say, as I'm around people, "Man, I got to tell you, this happened to me, and this is really wonderful." Or, "Man, I've just had a sense of peace lately." And, you know, sometimes you have pockets, right, where you read the Bible and it's like, "What did I just read? It just well been in Greek and Hebrew, and like, what is going on?" Other times you read it, just so rich, and you might have 2 weeks of every time you touch the Bible, God's just really clearly speaking to you. I mean, those are wonderful opportunities to just, again, share with people who are in your circle. Now, here is the big idea for tonight, and that's this. And I'm so grateful for that. This is not based on skill. We don't need eloquence. You just need vulnerability and the willingness to tell what you have seen and heard. And what's interesting is Scripture calls us witnesses. And that's what we're called to do. "You shall be my witnesses." And I love this quote from one of the early church fathers, John Chrysostom. And he says this: "A witness in a courtroom does not argue the case. He simply tells what he has seen and heard. So it is with us. We are not called to be lawyers for the gospel, but witnesses." And we don't need to get all hyped up and figure out, you know, a lot of times there are conferences or church classes on evangelism and all these things. And it's a lot of it is so hyped up on persuasion. And if I just use the right words, I'll convince somebody. And I don't think there's anything wrong with me making sure I'm using words that will translate for other people and keeping it simple. However, a lot of times we forget that this is not something we can conjure up, because ultimately changing a heart, somebody changing their heart, that is a miracle. It's a true miracle of God. You know, Scripture talks about conversion or transformation, internal transformation, going from having a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. I can't do that to myself. You can't do that to me. I can't do that to you. That's an act of God. That's the definition of a miracle. And so as we look at this, we really have to say, wow, that's God's work. That's the Holy Spirit working. My role is simply to be a witness. And I think in a courtroom, you know, that's what a witness is asked to do, to provide two things. Tell us what you've seen. Tell us what you've heard. And I also think this, if you say, "Well, my friend told me she heard," what's the objection there? Hearsay. Sorry, you didn't get a chance to answer that, Amy. She did pass the bar. She got that one right. And I know that can be an objection in my life as well. Because for a lot of you say, "Hey, what are your thoughts on this?" And they'll tell you the thought of their favorite Christian author. "What do you believe about this?" And they'll quote a book or somebody else, maybe a pastor of a large church they listen to or whatever. It's like, no, the Lord says, "Who do people say that I am?" But then he gets it real personal. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" because otherwise it's just hearsay. And we're giving firsthand testimony about what we have seen and what we have heard. And so it's not enough. I mean, again, this is the easy part. I hang around people like Benji, and he's walking with the Lord, and I see the Lord doing stuff in his life, and that's kind of cool. And then I could say, somebody says, what's going on? Oh, you know, something really cool happened in Benji's life. Like, if I do that all the time, it's kind of weird. Like, bro, does nothing ever happen in your own life, you know? And so we have this opportunity. Now, I want to share just a couple of stories from my own life. Again, just see it. This is what I've seen and what I've heard, a couple things that were brought to mind. The first one, I was in college, and there was an evening mass, and I went to this evening mass, and I think it was maybe a confession service or something, but I got there early, and I was just kneeling down on the kneeler and looking up at the altar, and there was plenty of time. I was, for some reason, plenty early, and the campus priest was up there, and when I saw him, I kind of got a little twisted in my heart, because I was expecting him. I was young and zealous, and my zeal was greatly outpacing my wisdom and maturity. And so, oh, I can't laugh. I got sore ribs. But I was wanting him to be more like, hey, you know, just like preaching at everybody. And he, it's a good thing he wasn't doing what I was encouraging him to do at the time. And so I had a little bit of like, seeing him didn't bring a smile to my face. It was more like seeing him like, come on, Tom, you need to get fired up. Like, you know, the rest of us are fired up. And so as I'm seeing him and these thoughts are coming, I just start saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, I'm being a grump towards Tom and Father Tom, actually. I don't know why I'm saying Tom. I'm probably get slapped. But really good guy, full of love. And then I just prayed about, you know, having a clean heart and being forgiving towards him. And then there was another thing, God's provision in my life and just really trusting for him to come through on something. And I prayed about that. And then there was a third thing. And it was really trusting God for direction on a particular thing. And I remember there were these three distinct things, and then we had the service, and it was great. Well, then I go back to my dorm, and I get a phone call from this girl I had met. She had transferred in. Her name was Beth. Well, she was a Christian, but she was more like probably the first Christian I met who would be self-described as spirit-filled. And she was a very vibrant Christian, just very real, and it wasn't put on. It just kind of flowed out of her. And she called me, and she said, I was praying tonight earlier, and I felt like God shared some things to share with you. Like, okay. And that's an interesting pickup line. No, I didn't say that. And so she's like, you want me to come by? And I said, yeah, I'll meet you in the lobby. And so she comes by, and she has a notebook. And she said, a lot of times when I pray, I feel like if the Lord shares something with me, I just write it in my notebook. And she pulls out her notebook, and she said, there were three things the Lord shared with me. And she said, one was, he's pleased with you walking in forgiveness and keeping, you know, love at the center of your relationships. And number two, he wants you to know he is your provider, and he's going to come through. You need to trust him and walk in faith. And number three, you're seeking wisdom, and he has that wisdom for me. She read my mail, and then she shared when she was praying, and it was exactly the same time that I was kneeling in that chapel. And just for me, like, God just got so much bigger. Like, he was, you know, I was pretty comfortable with his size at the time. I had it figured out. And it was one of those times where I'm like, oh my Lanta, I don't have any of this figured out. God is beyond my wildest imagination. Well, at the end of that year, I was really trusting the Lord for direction. Now, I'm at this school called Briarcliff College in Sioux City, Iowa, and I felt like he had another school for me. And it was such a challenging time because I was comfortable there. I had a full basketball scholarship there. And I visited Oral Roberts University, but the head coach who was there at the time, who kind of, you know, was amenable to me coming, that summer he ended up getting fired. And the new coaching staff, none of them knew me. And so I was going, I had no scholarship and no guarantee of financial aid. And I remember just like, oh my word, I'm going down there. This was 1987, and I drove the most granny car you've ever seen, a 65 AMC Rambler, yes, in 87. And I drove down, and the whole time I'm praying and I'm reciting scripture about provision, my God shall supply all my needs according to his glory and riches in Christ Jesus, and just praying and praying. I was fasting. I fasted for the first time. I didn't even, up to this point, I never even fasted between meals. Like, I was eating all the time. And didn't fully understand fasting. At the time, I'm kind of like, God's going to really see how serious I am, and he's going to come through because I'm not eating. And but I just remember God opening this door. And I sat down with the academic advisor for the athletes, and he figured out this financial aid mix up. And he's like, hey, you know what? Before the cafeteria closes, here's a meal card. Just go get something to eat. You're good to go. Welcome to ORU. Oh, I was just like floating. And I had made the sacrifice. I'd left comfort, left this, you know, very sure full scholarship, and God provided in an amazing way. And, you know, I would share that testimony so many times. And then there was a guy, a big fundraiser for the school years later, and he said, I'm coming to Houston. I want to meet with you. And he said, one of the reasons I want to meet with you is when freshmen are asked, what led you to ORU? He said, we've had several students say that it was you who was their principal reason for choosing this school. And of course, I'm thinking, do I get a kickback for that or something? But I was simply sharing, you know, what I had seen and what I had heard and God's goodness and his provision in my life. Similarly, me trying to create a coherent narrative of my past and my lack of relationship with my father. And I'll say a father void. Now, I've learned to kind of ease up on the language to say, you know, rather than say he rejected me, like I felt rejected. Regardless of what he did, I felt rejected. I felt this void. And to come to a place where God just really revealed himself as the perfect father to me. And you might have had a wonderful role model as a father, or still do, but he's not perfect. And you have a perfect father in addition to that. Or you might have had an abusive father, and it's like, I don't really identify with this idea of God being a father. Like, no. This is the perfect one. This is the one that this is a safe place. But for me to just share that, and the number of times I've shared that, to see healing in people, I wasn't preaching. It wasn't in eloquence. It was first person narrative for me that others, regardless of their upbringing, they were finding elements of faith that they could grab onto. And I think just to frame it for us, to ask these five questions, to kind of discover maybe a little bit, what have you seen and heard? What story do you have to tell? You know, what has God done for you? Where's this big answer to prayer? Maybe it's peace, or you just know he's come through, that you can articulate that. What has he done in you? How has he changed you? You know, I shared how I was so afraid of dying. And like childhood, middle school, high school, and then all of a sudden, I don't even know the day, but it just occurred to me after I started to walk with Christ that the fear of death had just vanished from me. It was so gripping prior to that. That was a distinct thing that God had done in my heart, and I wasn't even praying about it. I didn't even ask him to do it. What has God done in you? What are you grateful for right now? And can you express that gratitude to the Lord? And is there a person you can share that gratitude with? What do you want other people to know about God? How you experienced Christ and felt his love, that you want others to think the same thing? And can you put that in one sentence? This is what I wish people knew about the Lord. And so this week, with these questions, three things I'll say to hopefully make it very simple and memorable. One is to be mindful, to ponder these things. What is God doing in me and through me? Be mindful, write it down. Mark Twain said the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. And as we get older, it gets a little more challenging. I was working with Alan today, Amy's brother, and he said, could you go get me such and such? And I did not take the ladder. I went through the house, and I got down there. I'm like, what did he send me down here for? I was just struggling. And fortunately, it came to me, and I didn't have to do the walk of shame to go ask him what it was. But be mindful, write it down, and then tell one person. That's simple, right? Be mindful, write it down, tell one person, somebody who's in your circle. And here's a simple, powerful statement, and that's this. Your story is enough. I don't have a dramatic story of, yeah, I was robbing banks and murdering people, and then God just showed me his love, and I stopped doing all those horrible things. You know, I mean, it's pretty mundane. But there are a lot of people who can identify more with mundane than dramatic, right? And so all of us together, imagine, you know, we'll probably have 60 plus people coming to Fawn Lake between tonight and tomorrow. And that's 60. If we just did one, that's 60 additional people who hear what God is doing. And it's not just about, oh, that's great marketing for Fawn Lake Church. We'll grow. That's great marketing for the kingdom. That God, who's wonderful, gets the glory he deserves as we testify of his goodness and his love. And we share what he's doing in our lives and making the connection that God's no respecter of persons, that what he'll do for one, he'll do for another. And he's happy to do it. He's happy to do it because he loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, thank you that we do have things to share because we have seen and heard you at work in your goodness in our lives. God, I pray for each one of us, God, that you would bring those things to mind, that we could jot things down about what we're doing and what we're grateful for and what's encouraged us. And God, in this world of negativity and bad news, God, remind us to share the good news, to encourage people because they need it. Help us to lift them up. And ultimately, God, that the light would shine on you, not on us. God, that you would show what a big God you are for everyone we encounter. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.